You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
He is the greatest fighter of all times next to me.
Last Saturday night, the MGM Grand Las Vegas, Nevada, of course, wow, what can I say, the main event, WBC 130-pound title on the line, Miguel Berchelt, a 3-1 favorite. Some had him at 5-1. I kid you not. I think Bovada had him in like 5-1, and it opened like at 6-1. So 6-1 over a former Olympian and a former champion, 126 pounds, and Oscar Valdez, who came in at 28 and zip. Guess what? He left the ring at 29 and zip. It was a fantastic win. In fact, for Mr. Valdez, I would have to say that it was a career moment, because he's got big things in front of him. Maybe Gervonta Davis, maybe a step to 135 pounds. He's talking about all kinds of different things. He's got lots of options. He's colorful. He's bilingual. He speaks both English and Spanish with perfect plurity. I mean, he's just amazing. And he's a good young man outside the ring. But I thought the classiest thing I've ever seen in the past couple of years, of boxing, and I've seen some classy things, but when he got down on his hands and knees, you can see the picture here on the twitch.tv screen, of course, the Sports Byline USA channel. You can see the inside picture here of him on his knees in front of the former champion, Berchelt, after knocking him out so viciously and just giving him props. And to me, that just shows what boxing's all about. I cannot praise that picture enough. Anyway, bottom line is, here is Oscar Valdez post-fight.
He's a guy I have nothing but respect. And, you know, we said we weren't friends once we signed, and that was true. After a fight, you know, I want to go see him. I wish him the best. He can be the champ at 130 pounds. I think he's struggled a lot to make plays, so I got nothing bad to say about him. He's a true champ. I wish him the best.
Oscar, you dominated from the first second till that knockout. What was going through your mind, round one, round two, round four, round five?
Stay focused always. He came in with a good body shot. I said, wow, he is hard. Every time I was hit his face, he had a strong, I felt like I was hitting a rock. We got the thing done. I listened to my father, listened to my corner, Betty Reynoso, and we got it done.
Frank, you've known him from day one, from the Olympics?
Oh, yeah.
You remember you called me and you said, hey.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. You were there. You went.
And now, what do you say about him shocking the world tonight? Biggest upset since Mike Tyson and,
No.
Yes?
Come on, man.
Oscar, after the win, you went like, shh. What did you mean by that, for those who don't know?
I mean, people doubted me. People said that I wasn't going to. Boxing analysis, boxing experts, my idol said it. They all said I was going to get knocked out. And I stayed calm. I said, okay, I'm going to prove everybody wrong. There's nothing better in life than proving people wrong. And don't let nobody tell that to people. Don't let nobody tell you you can't do something. Because if you start listening to it, you might start believing in it. Always believe in yourself. Train hard. Be disciplined in life. And anything's possible. Call it out. Let the universe and ask God for whatever you want. And everything's going to be accomplished.
The words of the victorious WBC 130-pound champion, Mr. Oscar Valdez. Now, of course, 29 and zip, 23 KOs. He represents both Mexico and the United States very, very, very well. And I expect him to hold that belt for a considerable amount of time. I mean, the fact that let's bring in Socrates Palmer at this point in time. We'll talk about boxing's PhD. Socrates, how's life treating you?
Life is great, Pedro. How's it going with you?
It's wonderful. I got to ask you, you know, it was a big upset in a lot of people's minds last week, but what really astonished me was the fact that I'm talking about Mr. Valdez, was so much smaller than Berchelt. I mean, in size, I said to myself, you know, size matters in two things, combat sports and pornography, and this is combat sports.
Well, Oscar Valdez, you know, he delivered that money shot, I'll tell you that much. It was really... Now, the size was definitely apparent, you know, especially Berchelt's neck. I mean, I had never seen a lightweight with his neck. Look, he actually facially kind of reminded me of like Ricardo Mayorga, like a big cinder block type of a dome that he had. But the same way that Berchelt had the size advantage, Valdez had the foot speed advantage. And that was the key and the hand speed and just he really was. I mean, we may never see a performance by Valdez again like that. I mean, that was just tremendous. I mean, he fought literally the fight of his career, and a lot of people shortchanged him, you know, and he was very gracious in victory. You know, he was not arrogant, but he said, hey, you know, he put the finger over the lips as he should have. And, you know, people don't just give out medals in the Olympics, right? I mean, this kid can fight, you know, and he was a champion at a lower weight class. And, you know, he had basically, I don't want to say he was playing with house money, but he came in maybe that, you know, that the underdog role definitely motivated him, but he was just a superior fighter, you know, and, you know, he actually withstood a rally by Brochelt, in the middle, but, he delivered probably the knockout of the year. And right now he's probably the lead dog for the fighter of the year right now.
Socrates Palmer, boxing's PhD, of course, is on the line from the Bronx. The Bronx Bomber himself, JC Superstar. I'm talking about Julio Cesar Chavez, sort of disrespected him before the fight. He called Brochelt. The president of Mexico called Brochelt after the fight. But JC Superstar, showing some class and some modesty, he called him after the fight. He said Oscar was, like, blown away by it, the fact that Chavez was on the phone. And I don't know if the president's called yet, but the bottom line is he deserves some props. And the way he handled himself, you know, I'll go back to it, that kneeling in front of him, you know, and kneeling in front of the former champion, the fallen champion who had just been waking up and putting on a stool, that to me is just like, it was, I don't know how to put it into words. You just have to look at the picture.
It was classy, man. It was... kind of reminiscent of when Arguello stopped a green Boom Boom Mancini, you know, and he was, I remember he was praising him a lot on HBO, saying that Mancini's a really good fighter and that he'll be champ again. You know, it's good sportsmanship, you know, and it's something that type of respect you can only get when you share that type of intimacy with another guy in the ring, you know, and Brochelt, you know, fought gallantly. But just Valdez is in the, just had different, just more dynamic, you know, he's not a one trick pony, you know, a guy could box, obviously he could punch, and he's a problem, you know, he really is. He's going to be a problem for anybody at that weight class and, a legit 2-time world champion. I thought the fight going in was a pick 'em. I went with Valdez because I tend to favor the guy who's a cleaner fighter, you know, the guy that's, Just,
okay,
more sound.
So what are you, talking about? You're already boxing's PhD. Do I have to call you like the prophet now? You've picked two underdogs, two decisive underdogs 2 weeks in a row. What are you trying? What's up here? Do you have a crystal ball?
Well, check it out. I wish I would have made a profit by putting down some scratch on both fights. So other than bragging rights, you know, I can't really, you know, stick my chest out too much, but, you know, even a broken clock is right twice a day. So I guess I got lucky.
Okay. Without a doubt though, I mean, Brochelt, as far as that knockout was concerned, that was a scary knockout. The fact that he was awake and groggy on the stool was a good sign for me because when he went down, he didn't move.
That was reminiscent to, Paul Williams getting starched by Sergio Martinez. It was that type of knockout, you know, and it was, and especially in an empty arena, I'm sure it sounded like a gunshot, you know, that was just, I mean, I you almost feel guilty by calling it a thing of beauty, but it really was. But I'm, you know, obviously Brochelt, he's, you know, he's in good health. You wonder
how much
damage that's going to do to him in the future, because the aura of invincibility is gone.
Okay, damage in the future. Time to put you on the spot. Should Russell Moore have stopped that fight earlier, considering his legs were like on Jell-O at 3 different times?
You know what? You always want to give the champion the benefit of the doubt, you know. And Brochelt, as we all know, had that puncher's chance, you know, but it's tough. You know, it's a tough call. And I'm no fan of Russell Moore. You know, I don't think he's a great referee by any means, but
he can't sing a lick. He couldn't hold a note if you put it in an envelope and stuck it in his hand.
What's the backstory on that?
Because they tried to, he used to be part of these singers, a bunch of referees and kind of stuff like that out of Vegas. I can't remember, but Tony Weeks was the lead singer. And sort of, he went off solo and did his thing, but they were sort of like the stylistics of boxing for a while. They would show up at different conventions, but Russell Moore was the guy that couldn't sing.
Wow.
He was the only non-black guy in the group. Coincidence? Perhaps.
Bad look for us Latinos then.
Oh! Bottom line is you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, this is our premier edition of WBC TV. President Mauricio Sulaiman, of course, in Miami for the Canelo Alvarez fight tonight. We'll get into that in depth after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check out the WBC's website, WBCboxing.com. You are tuned to the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, but hey, you already know that.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council. the WBC. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hardest hustle anything is boxing, though. I don't know what you do for a living, but pretty sure ain't nobody punching you all in your eye. I watched one fight. Roy Jones got hit so hard, my TV moved. He was asleep like he got knocked out of the club. The ref was like 241, 242. Roy was snoring. He was really knocked out. He was laying there so long, they had to start another fight. Roy was still there. Fighters had to dance around Roy.
The Great Earthquake on HBO about 10, 12 years ago. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, we're talking boxing this hour. Bottom line is Canelo Alvarez, 30 years old now. Of course, 54-1, a couple of draws, 36 KOs. Wow, pro since 2005, November 29, 2005. In fact, you know, I guess that first guy that he fought will probably go down in history as like, you know, who was he? Who was he? At bottom line, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But you look at his career now. 50 plus fights. He only lost to Floyd Mayweather, of course, when he was real green back in the day. Green as guacamole. Of course, him and Mayweather never had a rematch. Mayweather was smart, I think, to take that fight at that point in time because, as I said, Canelo was green. I don't think he had Reynoso yet. And the bottom line is he had two left feet. We'll go back to the Bronx, of course, and bring in our PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. Soc, Canelo's really developed footwork. I mean, when he fought Mayweather, he had two left feet of maybe three left feet. I mean, he really looked clumsy.
He looked like you said, he looked every bit the part of someone who should not have been in the ring with someone as crafty as Floyd Mayweather. Even at Floyd's age, you know, Floyd was definitely in his mid-30s in that fight, and he really schooled a green, inexperienced fighter who looked great against guys that stood right in front of him. But Floyd gave him obviously that's the night that Canelo became a pro, probably. And I'm sure that probably haunts him still. You know, the fight happened during a bad time in Golden Boy's promotions and the problems with Schaefer and then Al Haymon. So it's almost like they sold the kid out. You know, but Canelo was very precocious and that's what makes great fighters. I mean, he was willing to take the risk and, you know, credit to Floyd, the greatest opportunist in the history of sports, probably.
Well, yeah. Floyd knows how to pick them. Let's talk about Team Reynoso just for a second. Of course, Canelo being the prize jewel there, but Ryan Garcia, the unbeaten lightweight, the aforementioned Oscar Valdez, the unbeaten 130-pounder, Andy Ruiz, who I used to call Auntie Louise, and I saw a picture of him. And man, I'm telling you, it's like the guy went to the Jenny Craig clinic to lose some weight. I mean, did you see the same picture I saw?
I did. And I was really happy to see that, you know, cause I, for one, like Andy Ruiz, I think he's a very, very good fighter, whose biggest enemy is a knife and fork, you know, and.
Ooh.
You know, but the kid is nasty. He may be outside of Tyson Fury, the most skilled heavyweight that we have. And he's definitely a top five heavyweight. And, you know, it's good to see him take his career serious again. He really ate himself, you know, out of a title, you know, in the rematch against Anthony Joshua, but he will always have that, you know, lasting memory of one of the great upsets in the history of boxing when he stopped Mr. Joshua and derailed that mega fight with him and Deontay Wilder.
You know, I will give him props for that, and I give him props for losing the weight and this and that, but that in-between thing, you know, the Colombian dust, all the cognac, that kind of good stuff, and then going to camp at 317 pounds, I mean, I have a hard time forgiving that type of, you know, I mean, 317 pounds. Listen, if he'd have been in any other weight class, he'd have been ruled unfit to box.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right. And we won't know if, you know, how effective the weight loss is. I mean, there's some athletes that were actually good when they're a little fat, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see how Andy Ruiz handles it, you know.
No, I'm going to disagree with you on that one. I don't think so. I mean, you know, Buster Mathis was chubby. His son was chubby. They were both underachievers. I don't know. I think if you're packing a gut, wouldn't Larry Merchant say if you're packing a gut, you don't have the pride inside of yourself to get it down, to look good. I mean, you want to present yourself. You're not only just go, I mean, you're not 2-ton Tony Galento. You know what I'm saying? Professional fighters have an image. And I think that most guys should get themselves in the absolute best condition in the world. And then I see fight after fight where a guy comes in, maybe 70 or 80%. I scratch my head and I say to myself, what's going on? And then you go out back and find out he's had, you know, issues in camp, like the old lady calling him on the phone, things like that. You know, so
right.
He was distracted. I mean, the most distracted guy, I think, in boxing in the past couple of years has been a guy that you and I are high on, and the former WBC champion, I'm talking about David Benavidez. I mean, we were high on him. He's still unbeaten, but what's going on? Is he going to be able to put his nose to the grindstone and come up with a super fight with Canelo?
Now, were you throwing in some subliminals there? You used the word, we were high on Benavidez, and now you're talking about him putting his nose to something. Are you trying to, you know, drop a sub on us?
I just think you're reading too much into that, but go on.
No, hey, Benavidez has probably the most TV crowd, pleasing style in boxing. He throws a million punches around. He could punch. He's a tall dude for that weight class. He's a problem. There's a reason that, you know, the other super middleweights are not banging on the door to fight him. If his career is his priority, you know, the best fight to make in boxing, or one of the best fights to make in boxing, is him and Canelo Alvarez. We saw what happened between that energy of Mexico, you know, Mexican pride going at it last week with Valdez and Brochel. You would get that same type of fire and twice as much because Canelo's a megastar. Benavidez's worst enemy is himself. Now, a guy like Caleb Plant may give him some problem, you know, because of the foot speed and he's a little cute, but I don't think he'll be able to keep that monster away from him for 12 rounds. I hope for his sake he gets a big fight against, I heard rumors of him and Charlo. I mean, eventually PBC has to put on a competitive fight, you know, so hopefully he's in it.
Okay, time out. Real quick. What's happening with Teofimo Lopez? Who won the purse bid?
Triller.
Who?
The Triller. They are one of the new kids on the block in Silicon Valley.
Really?
They are, an app similar to the, a little bit more well known and controversial TikTok, they made their bones with music, and they came, you know, they bursted on the scene, with, Roy Jones and Mike Tyson.
Wow.
A fight that did 1.9 million views. So I tell you what, these Silicon Valley companies, I mean, if they wanted to get into boxing, it would be a tremendous game changer. I mean, who's got more money than Facebook or one of these companies like Amazon? Like they could buy Top Rank 10 times over. You know, the biggest news of the week was Teofimo Lopez, who, you know, Top Rack called his bluff. They said, go, let's see who's going to pay you more. Well, Triller came out of nowhere and tripled his, purse.
Tripled it.
It's like you had a poker table and somebody the old man wasn't happy.
Eighty-six-year-old Bob Arum, Master Bob must be slipping a little bit. I mean, because he only wanted to pay him $1.2 million. Teofimo Lopez, the undisputed champion, the only guy that's really got the entire belts in all the divisions and all the division, and yet he sort of disrespects him. I mean, after beating Lomachenko like that, I thought that was stone cold disrespect, which sort of tells me that Teofimo pissed Bob Arum off, and Bob said, "You know what? Screw you. I don't want you." What do you think?
Hey, that's going to be a very tough relationship to mend. You know, I mean, I've never seen have you ever seen a casket with pockets? I mean, like you said, he's 86 years old, you know, I mean, and he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, I understand, you know, it's a monster company and there's investors and whatever, but how do you disrespect maybe the biggest star you have in your company? I mean, he doesn't have Tyson Fury 100%, so no. I'm not going to necessarily count Fury. He's one of the brightest stars in the sport, you know, and credit to him and credit to everybody, because everyone, if the champ's purse goes up, Kambosos' purse went up, you know, and, and Bob sounded very bitter.
Yeah, well, I think it boiled down to like, $4.5 million or $1.5 million for the champion and the challenger. But Bob made 800 grand for it, for his holding of Teofimo Lopez. He said, I made 800 grand. I didn't have to do nothing. So, you know what I mean? Sort of sounded beyond bitter. Anyway, let's go back to Team Reynoso before we get to the prediction on the fight tonight. Ryan Garcia, Reynoso wants him to concentrate on lightweights and not Manny Pacquiao. Where are they leaning on that? Is he still talking about this Pacquiao fight?
Reynoso's a smart man, because Pacquiao probably beat the brakes off of him at this point. You know, I don't care if he's 40 years old. You don't, you know, stick a, you know, you don't leave a dog alone. You know, Manny's still got enough fire to probably whip, Ryan Garcia. Eddie Reynoso right now is on the wave. He may be the best trained in the game.
Okay. Real quick, less than 30 seconds, the prediction on tonight's fight.
I'm going to go out on a limb, but I think Canelo is going to win by a stoppage.
Wait, you're not picking the underdog this week?
No, sir.
Wait, I can't even get you to think about the underdog this week?
No. I mean, he was stopped once before by Eubank Jr. I think he probably gets stopped a little quicker.
The great Socrates Palmer, boxing's PhD on WBC TV and Ring Talk Live Worldwide.